We could have a new airline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Virgin America has been trying to get off the ground for some time. The U.S. government has been standing in the way, citing foreign ownership rules. But last night, the Transportation Department changed its mind and gave a tentative okay for Virgin America to start flying planes in the U.S. The airline will have to make some ownership changes, but billionaire Richard Branson will still be involved. Kieran Daly is editor of Air Transport Intelligence in London. Kieran, why the turnabout here?
I think that the point is that in the end, they couldn't find a way to block it. And the DOT's actions throughout this whole affair have been essentially entirely at the behest of the legacy U.S. carriers, simply in order to keep out a competitor. You know, this has got nothing to do with U.S. security or U.S. competitiveness or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that the legacy carriers are horrified at seeing new entrants. You know, they saw what happened with JetBlue when they came in. Now they don't want to see the same thing happening again.
And what kind of a competitor might Virgin America be?
Well, Virgin America will almost certainly be an extremely powerful competitor. What has been demonstrated is that the Virgin brand has a great deal of equity around the world. Now, you know, there is a precedent for this in Australia, where a similar kind of operation, Virgin Blue, was set up there and has been tremendously successful in one of the most brutally competitive markets in the world. Now, I think you will see the same kind of factors at play with Virgin America. So I think the other airlines are rightfully afraid of what Virgin America will do to them. But if you're a taxpayer or a consumer, then you should be delighted at that.
Now, is Virgin America akin to Southwest or JetBlue?
It will be that kind of model, and really that is almost the only sort of model that's achievable
right
these days. I would distinguish between Southwest and JetBlue, and what we will probably see now is something rather like JetBlue, and the magic of JetBlue has been the being able to produce a pretty satisfactory product, which people will not always pay rock-bottom prices for, but will pay low prices for.
Kieran Daly of Air Transport Intelligence, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Federal Reserve makes a decision on interest rates today. You can almost take it to the bank. The Fed will leave them alone. Yesterday, Wall Street was feeling all right. The Dow gained 61 points to 12,228. The NASDAQ put on 13 to 2408. The S&P 500 closed up 8 points to 1410. Things were kind of flat in Asia, and stocks opened steady in Europe. Today, Congress shines its spotlight on the home lending industry. There's a House hearing this morning, a Senate hearing tomorrow. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Democratic presidential candidate Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut says he's concerned by reports that more than 2 million subprime mortgage holders are facing foreclosure. Dodd also chairs the Senate Banking Committee. He's called on executives from the top five subprime lending companies and from three federal bank regulators to come and answer some questions.
The regulators, I want to know, what did they know, when did they know it, and what have they done about it? They have a responsibility as a cop. The lender has a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility, the people they're going to engage in, and the consumer has a responsibility.
Lenders are wary of a regulatory overreaction to the bad loans in the subprime mortgage market. But Dodd says so far he's only out to enforce existing rules on credit checks for homebuyers. Some lawmakers say it may take a federal bailout to keep subprime borrowers from losing their homes. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The problems in the subprime mortgage market have raised an interesting question. Is owning a home really the right thing for everybody? Commentator David Frum believes it might not be.
The fact that almost 70% of American adults now own their own home is hailed as a great social achievement. But the achievement came at a price. Encouraged and subsidized by government, mortgage lenders loosened their lending standards to spread home ownership so widely. These loose standards now threaten the whole American financial system. but they also do harm to low-income borrowers. If a low-income person rents, he or she can easily move to find a better job. Just give your landlord notice, pack up your clothes, and off you go. But selling a house is expensive and time-consuming, so you are more likely to stay put and hope for the best. A renter can predict what an apartment will cost. A homeowner risks unexpected expenses if the boiler blows or the roof leaks. If renters fall behind on the rent, they're evicted. When homeowners fall behind on mortgage payments, they lose their equity in foreclosure. If we're going to subsidize saving and investment for lower-income people, does it really make sense to encourage them to save and invest in the least liquid and most risky possible way? In the 1990s, President Clinton and House Speaker Newt Gingrich nearly reached a deal on a program to direct subsidies instead to low-income people who save for their own retirement in special retirement accounts. The idea was eventually dismissed as too costly. But what if some of the federal money currently spent to promote low-income home ownership were redirected to promote low-income saving instead? Maybe we should also question the great American home ownership ideal for middle-class people as well. We often complain that Americans save less than almost any other people on earth. But most of us think we are saving when we buy the biggest house we can with our federally subsidized mortgages. Why put away a crummy $100 a week when the miracle of leverage can double your home equity? It looks like all of us are about to get a very sharp answer to that last question, administered the old-fashioned way, very, very painfully.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush, and he's now a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Word is CNBC is developing a new TV series. The Hollywood Reporter says it's called CEO Dad. Could be a half-hour show this fall. It's based on a comic strip of the same name, about a guy who tries to balance work and home life. He's the head of a styrofoam peanut company. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.